12 takes us to it's the end of the section in the Gospel of John where there was this growing unbelief among the Jews. I mean, Jesus started off, it wasn't like everybody ran to him and just believed, but when John began the Gospel, it was the growing faith of some of the disciples that were coming to him. But starting in chapter 5, there's this growing tension, and it's like the more Jesus preached, the more he told the good news, the more miracles he did, the more resistance he found. And there was such a dividing line between belief and unbelief. You talk about polarizing. Jesus was the most polarizing and still is the most polarizing person ever to walk on the face of the earth. And there is one thing that we have to know and understand, that if you proclaim Christ, you will provide a separation between people. Maybe between yourself and them, or between them who believe and those who refuse. Christ is still the single most polarizing character, personality in history. Let's pray, and then I'll read a few verses from John chapter 12. Give us insight, Lord, into this passage. I pray that you'll help me to speak what needs to be said as succinctly as possible, that your Spirit would work precisely and with great pointedness in each of our hearts. Help us to, all of us, to hear this good word today, that we might be better equipped in order to speak to our family and friends and to our world in which we live, that we would, if we have unbelief, that we would repent. And above all, Lord, I pray that you would cause your Spirit to ignite in us a passion to follow you, a desire for your glory, and a want to know you better and to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 12, starting at verse 37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe. For this reason, they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and he spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words, but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Every step along the way, Christ was obedient to the Father in every way. If you want to know, is the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament the same God? The answer is yes. There in the Scripture is a revelation of who God is. And men have chosen to harden their hearts against the truth. The title of the message today is "The Seed of Condemnation." It's a heavy message. It's a heavy title. But I think we got to notice something about Jesus and his ministry. He was combating unbelief every breath he took. And there are people today who do believe. But we have to know and remember that as believers, we're combating unbelief every breath we take, every step of the way. Not only our own struggles that we have of maintaining or believing and trusting the Lord, but in ministering the word of truth, you're going to find that the majority of people you talk to will not believe. Jesus, it says here, did many, many miracles. Every miracle was a gift of mercy. Every miracle he did was a gift of mercy, either to build the faith of the one who saw it, what a merciful gift, or to do something like restore the sight to a blind man or to raise a dead man. Jesus did good works as an act of mercy, of grace, and of great love. And it says here in verse 37, even after, and it's this is probably looking back over chapters 5 through 12 and the events that were there, but even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. They would not believe in him. That's like digging your heels in and saying, no. Receive this. No. The first thing I want us to look at today, it may be a silly way I titled it or something, your first section of your notes, but it is would not, could not, should not. The consequence of choosing to harden your heart. When was the last time you talked to even your children, those of you who are parents, and you cautioned them about hardening their heart? You know it's absolutely necessary, isn't it? As a parent, there are times you have to get so real with your children that you remind them that they are in danger of hardening their heart. Do not harden your heart. I think we can learn parenting tips from God because God spoke to the Israelites numerous times, do not harden your heart. As you did then, God will point out an event. You harden your heart then and look where it got you. Do not harden your heart. Jesus has been working in every day of his ministry of showing forth the love of God, the mercy of God, his grace, and proclaiming the saving message, and at the same time warning them not to harden their heart against such a message. So the first section I want us to see is this: would not, could not, should not, shall not, and think of the consequences of choosing to harden your heart. There's Christian singers, they're making the headlines of abandoning their faith, of saying they no longer believe in God. There is such a danger in choosing to harden your heart. Rather than seek God and turn to him and come as one who recognizes weakness, there's a hardening of the heart. We'll talk about that in a minute. The second section, verses 42 through 50, deals with cowardliness and condemnation. The consequence of loving the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Well, even as we mentioned, the miracles made no difference for many people. They would not believe. No matter what, maybe there are good things he's done, but I won't accept them. You can see things in our own society today of things that are done positively, and someone will say, I don't care what they do, I won't accept it. They didn't believe. They either rejected completely, or they ignored it, or they were indifferent to it. It doesn't really say what the would not believe is, but it's one of those things, ignoring, flat out rejecting, or ambivalent. Yeah, whatever. But as a nation, as a group of people, they would not believe. The signs that Jesus performed, the miraculous signs, were signs that showed forth what he testified to. His word of testimony was true. He called himself the light of the world, the bread of life. He called himself the abundant life. He called himself, and from him life and life everlasting. He is everlasting life. All the signs he performed was to give credence or support his testimony and the scriptural testimony of who he is. The scripture testified as to who Jesus Christ Messiah would be, and every single sign was given to support those claims. People even said, no one but God can open the eyes of someone born blind. Only God can cleanse a leper. Only God can make a lame man walk. And yet it says here that as a whole, they would not believe in him. And then it says, this was fulfilled so that the word of Isaiah the prophet would be. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. John quotes Isaiah 53 and Isaiah chapter 6 in this section of scripture. Did you know Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament prophet? When you're reading your Bibles, pay attention to how many times Isaiah is mentioned. Isaiah 53 is mentioned or alluded to many, many times more than any other scripture in all the Bible, which I think is fascinating. They would not believe, just as Isaiah the prophet predicted. Now, I don't think it means that what Isaiah predicted in this first quotation, which comes from Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? Who has believed the proclamation? And the answer would be no one, basically. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To everyone. But no one believed it. Isaiah predicted this. Do you realize this was true in Isaiah's day? As he preached, no one believed the message. And as God showed forth powerful acts of deliverance and reminded Israel of his powerful acts, they still rejected Isaiah's message, and they killed Isaiah. He was sawed in two. And he's saying here, this is magnified infinitely over, and that Christ came confirming that he is the Christ as Isaiah had seen, which we see in verse 41. Isaiah saw, 700 years prior to Christ, Isaiah saw Christ. Isaiah chapter 6. There he is, high and lifted up on this glorious throne. And now he says, John sees that Isaiah saw him. Christ has come. This magnificent, glorious Christ has come. And people would not. People wouldn't believe his word, and they wouldn't believe his works as being signs of showing who he is. This is very, very important for us. We ought to grieve over the fact that people reject the message of Jesus Christ. People reject the best news that they could ever have, that there's one Savior and one Lord. That ought to cause you to grieve. It ought to cause you to pray. It ought to cause you to hit your knees and plead with the Lord for mercy. I think it's very important that we see that the Lord wasn't unmoved by this. When he knew the unbelief of the people of Jerusalem, for example, and the people of Israel that he came to, and we see in Luke where he cried, he wept over the city. Oh, the hardened heart is impossible to break if God doesn't intervene. And if you think about it, of all the people you've ever spoken with, and people are indifferent, or they reject the gospel, or they just don't care, there should be a breaking of your own heart in that time. They could not believe, verse 39 tells us, which is the next part of this. They heard it, they rejected it, they would not believe it. And I see it, but I won't believe it. Most people say, if I could only see it, then I'd believe it. Well, these people were seeing, and yet they would not believe. And I think you can remember this. Put this in your arsenal of apologetics the next time someone tells you if they would see, they would believe. And you could tell them, no, chances are you wouldn't. Because these people had him in their very presence, and they would not. It's like when you ask somebody, would you please stand up and say something to encourage the Macaulays and you don't do it, it's because you would not do it. It's not that it didn't, in this case, it wasn't a life or death matter, but you would not. It's something you chose not to do. When Jesus did these things, people would not do it. They would not believe. They would not. So you can understand it's every person's battle, every person's dilemma. But what when we come to verse 39, and it says, for this reason they could not believe, we run into a different situation that everybody, that people, you pray people don't find themselves in this situation. God did not, what God did do, and when it says it could not, we're going to see what, I think verse 40 explains what I'm about to tell you better than I can explain it. I think what verse 39 tells us, they could not believe because they purposefully rejected God and they chose evil. They rejected the signs of the ministry of Jesus Christ. They could not believe. And I think what we're going to see is that God is giving them over to unbelief. There is a natural course of action that comes from rejecting Jesus Christ and hardening your heart. And these people would not believe. And now we see in verse 39, for this reason they could not believe. Verse 40 says, he has blinded their eyes. In other words, he gave them over to their unbelief. He gave them over. He blinded their eyes. He deadened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. I think that's what verse 40 is telling us. I don't believe in double predestination. I believe what the Bible says that, and I think the Bible teaches us that sinful man is corrupted through and through. There's no help needed to harden the heart. The sinful mind is enmity toward God. So there's already, as Jesus said in John chapter 3, there's a condemnation already for unbelief. And when it comes to the point, there comes a point, God is gracious, he is kind. As we saw in the miracles Jesus performed, people came to believe because it was the time of the Lord's favor. God graciously performed, had Jesus performing these signs and wonders to the praise of his glory, and some believed. But the human heart is desperately wicked. And God will allow the human heart, allow a sinful person being gracious to that person for so long, but there comes a point he gives them over to their unbelief. This is the course of the actions. Where it leads you is a complete hardening and blindness of heart. Romans tells us about this. In chapter 1, God gave them over. They kept sinning, they kept rebelling, they kept ignoring, they kept being indifferent, and God gave them over. There is, the sinful man will run as far as he can, as hard as he can from God. But God in his mercy will constrain them, it seems, for a period of time. But there's that moment of go. That ought to cause terror in people. That should cause alarm in everyone, if there's any listening via Facebook. I trust that most people here have been born again. But you all have family and friends. You have, there are people listening on Facebook today that may not have ever believed on the Lord. And thus far, you've looked at him as someone that you, well, he's an important person, but I don't believe. It says here, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts. They can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts. God gave them over. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, toward godlessness, and so forth, as we read in Romans chapter 1. Repent is the only thing that you can say to someone. Stop! Stop rebelling against God. Repent and turn. In verse 35, Jesus is speaking once again a merciful word. Jesus said, you are going to have the light. just a little while longer. This was to the people he was speaking with at the moment, the Jewish people. But the message goes out to the world, should go out to the world today. You're going to have the light with you a little while longer. It could, you might be that light for that person. I got a phone call from someone that they were contemplating, what if I died 48 hours, within 48 hours? And then I read the poem that we have on the back of our order of service. My favorite line, Jonathan Edwards, where he's praying, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Verse 35, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. There comes a point where you are not going. I don't know. I just have to know and be comforted. There comes a point when it's too late. Knowing only to God, but it's too late. Why tempt evil? If you've never believed on the Lord, why tempt evil? Why continue to harden your heart? You can't say, well, someday I'll make up my mind to do so. You don't know that. It was damning for the generation in Jesus' day to ignore Christ. Because it says in verse 37, after he finished speaking, Jesus hid himself from them. What a statement. The light that had dawned on Israel at the coming of Christ now sets. And it is a picture for us. Christ hid himself from them. There's that day. It's damning in Jesus' day to ignore Christ when he was right there with them. How much more will it be damning today when people refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel is being proclaimed, and people hear it again and again. I'm talking about in Jesus' day. And the gospel is proclaimed today, and people hear it again and again. In Jesus' day, it says they would not believe. And in our day, they will not believe. And because of unbelief, and because unbelief just breeds unbelief, there comes a point when these people could not believe. God gave them over. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, the Bible tells us. I think Jesus is alluding to all this even now without saying those exact words. I think John wants us to see there comes this terminal point. Of course, we would say there's no hope when a person dies. But many people, everybody's dead in trespasses and sins. But there comes a point where God has given them over. There's a hardness. There should be an urgency in the way we live out our Christian walk. When the Macaulays are going to Africa, they've got a mission, and that is to help people with sanitation, with health, and so forth, to get clean water. But in undergirding their work is the gospel ministry. People in Africa are not going to be more open to hearing the gospel. There was a preacher that came to College Park a long time ago, Anatoly, remember him? He was from Kiev, and he said, there's an iron curtain. There's that iron curtain was put there for a reason. They wanted to keep people out from the gospel, bringing the gospel in, to close the world, including closing it to the gospel. Young people need to hear this. Don't harden your heart. A lot of young people think one day I'll take this seriously. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Now's the time to take it seriously, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now's the time to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Older people will tell you, your brain doesn't work as good when you get older. If only I would have taken more time studying the scripture when I was younger. But we tempt evil every time we say no to God in Christ Jesus. If you have friends or loved ones, warn them. Grieve for them and warn them. Plead with them. But don't fail to warn them. You might lose some friends I don't know. I wish I don't know the person, but I just heard, I was eavesdropping on my children. They were talking about some TikTok or Twitter person or something like that, had 6 million followers and started either reading the Bible or giving testimony of her faith. She lost 2 million. A church that decides, you know what, we're going to start pushing each other to walk closer to the Lord, to love Him more. We're gonna try to express the love of God more. You're liable to lose people. We're going to preach Christ and Him crucified. You may lose people. Let's look at verses 42 through 50 and just take a few more minutes. It's been a big day today with sending the Macaulays off. In verses 42 through 50, we see, I just summarize it basically, the consequences of loving the praise of men. There's so much more in these verses in 42 through 50, but 42 and 43 really spell this out. It addresses the consequences of loving the praise of men, of just getting along in life, of just trying to have an easy way. Friends, no one can put their hand to the plow. In other words, no one can claim faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and look back. No one can claim faith and have an easy, cushy life. And what do I mean? What do we mean by that? Well, let's look at the scripture. Look what it says in verse 42. At the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Him. We should be going, yay, they believed in Him. But, there's that old word there again. This time it's not very good news that follows. But, because of the Pharisees, they would not confess faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For, they love the praise from men. They love praise from men more than they love praise from God. John doesn't waste words. They loved praise from men. They craved it. They had to have it. They wanted to get along in this life more than they wanted praise from God. It says they believed, but they secretly believed for fear of being thrown out of the synagogue. They feared the temporal consequences, the temporal loss that's associated in many cases with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They worried about what's going to happen to my life. But they did not fear the eternal consequences. When we disciple people, we have to begin, our children and one another, we have to put in each other's hearts, especially when one is shrinking back, when one becomes afraid. We need to encourage them, don't fear the temporal loss. There's a great video by Paul Washer. I've seen it before. It's a segment of a message he preached, and he's preaching and he's talking to pastors, and he says, pastors, tell the truth. Preach the word of God. And then he does the role plays. He's the part of the pastor going, but if I do, they'll kill me. And Paul Washer says, then die. I'll lose my home. Then lose your home. I'll lose my reputation, then lose your reputation. There's a story of a pastor in Scotland, I think it was. I think Alistair Begg tells a story. And he was becoming very unpopular. He had a burden on his heart, and that was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could see a religious people around him, but a faith, if there was any faith, that might have been a quarter inch deep. And he started calling people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He became very cross-centered. And he became fearful because he was getting letters and cards and people visiting him and telling, if you don't back off of this, we're going to quit. You're going to lose your job. And he said he was praying one night and crying out to the Lord, what do I do? And the Lord spoke to him through that word that he gave to the Apostle Paul about that he has many people in the city. I have much people. I love how the King James says it. I have much people in this city. God has a remnant. Don't be afraid. And he said in his vision or dream or whatever, the Lord said to him, besides, You have neither much time nor reputation left. What do you have to lose? And these people that Jesus is talking about had more of an interest in their own reputation and their own way in this world than they did in the interest of God in Christ Jesus. They were so afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. None of us would like that. What if all of a sudden you were told you can't go shop for groceries anymore unless you renounce your faith? What are you going to do? We know those days are coming. The Bible tells us so. You got people that are threatening right now. If you don't, you know, the rumor is if you don't take the immunization, you won't get in here or there. No school, no this, no that. And what if it's true? What are you going to do over an immunization? But when it comes down to testifying to the reality of Jesus Christ and you're told if you speak in his name anymore, you will have no utilities. What are you going to do? The synagogue was everything for a Jewish person. But Jesus was saying they loved the praise of men. They wanted their temporal peace. They wanted their status quo to remain the same. And they secretly believed. John wants us to see that. More worried about temporal consequences. What if my friends know how much I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? What if they ignore me? What if I lose them? So what? Every Christian has to learn to be alone. Alone with God. And trust in God. You've got to learn to trust in God. You're going to have your own family members in your own household not understand you from time to time. You won't even understand yourself from time to time. When you're starting to cut your spiritual teeth and grow in your faith, you will probably get out of balance. But you have to stay close to the Lord. Fear God, not men. And these people were fearing men. Do you know in Revelation chapter 21, it's so worth looking at. Revelation chapter 21, there's a list of the sins or the character qualities that exclude some. It marks a person that has rejected the good news of Jesus Christ, and they are going to hell. I just start at verse 1. No, I can't, because that would be too much. That would be too big of a reading. I think we'll go to verse 6. Chapter 21. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. Those who practice cowardice. All of us are going to be cowardly from time to time. All of us are going to be unbelieving. This is talking about those that live the life and practice of cowardice. It's condemnation. Those who live in practice of unbelief. It's condemnation. The seed of condemnation is unbelief. And no one wants to hear that anymore. Most people that you'll ever talk to want to know that God has got them, that they've got this thing, that they can have their own thing with the Lord. God calls us to all out. He's drawing you right now. He's drawing me right now to a full commitment to him, to seek him with all of our hearts. For people to look at you and say, "There's a peculiar person. All they think about is God." I think that's the right way to think. You'll find you can do other things. You can go to work. You can write checks. You can enjoy your family. You can do a cookout. But all in the context of, look what God has done for me. There should be a desire to know him. And Jesus is saying to us today that there are many that believe, but most were secret. There is no secret Christians if you're truly born again. Maybe there is over in China where you're all alone or you're locked up in a vault somewhere. But Jeff has given us story after story. You can read them all over the place of Christians that have said, no more, not going to be silent anymore. If it costs me my life, I'll die. True Christians confess Christ, the Bible tells us. Without confessing Christ before men, he will not confess you before the Father. One way that we do that is through baptism. We confess Christ. It's a public testimony. But don't think that that one-time baptism is all you ever is adequate and truly reveals if you're born again or not. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. That's what it comes down to. If you're born again and he's got your heart, you won't be ashamed. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of him. Talked about this a couple weeks ago. This world's going to hell in a handbasket, and you're going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ? This world is full of perversion and things that steal, kill, and destroy the lives of people every day. They die willingly in their sins. But the world does that, and you're going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ who saves you, you claim saves you. Don't be afraid to stand your ground in the faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what it rounds out in summary the rest of the passage there. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ leads to eternal life. Take him and believe on him. Trust him in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us and for your mercy. I pray that you will give balance to these words spoken. I pray that as people are thinking about these words, as each of us think about them, we'll examine our own lives. We pray your Spirit would search us out. Areas where we're numb, cold, and indifferent, that you would prick those areas and awaken us to our need to repent. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Doug, you have a song for us?
Let's turn to page 480.